You know what? It's time for cooperative extension. How do I know that? Because they have the prettiest looking paper of any of the budgets. Go ahead, Ken.
Thank you.
Well, thanks very much for... I wanted to thank everybody for the fact that this, as it is, it's, at least for the people on this end, it's been great. And, you know, because they haven't been at these meetings, I've written four or five proposals myself, plus a few other things. So it's been productive. So I wanted to, very quickly, I just wanted to, you know, because I get very few times to waste your time with what we do programmatically, so I wanted to take a minute or two for that, and as well as talk about the efficiency of our operations before moving into the recommended budget. So you have in front of you the table, which is now, this is the 10th year for this table. Happy anniversary. And the second page, actually, of this has the first one that I did from 10 years ago, and because, you know, we're in tight times, I didn't make it color this time. I made that one black and white. It was color 10 years ago. Some things that I thought it would be kind of fun when you're really bored or when you're really sleepy and you need to, or you want to fall asleep, you can take a look at both tables and make the comparisons. But I did highlight some of the differences. 10 years ago, we were actually... when I was working with the staff and we added up the number of people who had participated in our programs and we came up with 25,000 or something like that, they thought we were making up the numbers. We went back and double-checked them, and now we're up to 80,000 10 years later. The numbers in terms of what we were giving back to the county haven't really changed that much, but it's still noteworthy. When you add up what we save the county or what we generate in terms of revenue for the county, out of that $640,000 that we're that you so kindly appropriate to us, we're giving back $450,000. We had very few interns 10 years ago. We had 85 in 2011 with 22 FTEs. The 1,950 volunteers had 30 years of time to the county. We have about 600 partners who we work with across the county. I wanted to just, for those who don't remember the table, the way it's set up is the first column highlights the programs that, and we have footnoted in the back or more explanations on the goal pages what are all the various programs that are in there. The next set, the green columns, basically highlight the savings to the county, either in terms of revenue generated or savings. And then those numbers are footnoted. Those footnotes appear on the green page in the packet. Then there's the sort of positive impact on the county economy. And the footnotes for those appear on the blue page. And then we also like to say that people like to vote with their feet, and that's with the lemon yellow section is about the various ways that people and organizations in the county vote with their feet with respect to the programming of cooperative extension. In addition to the 80,000 participants last year, there were about 30,000 people who used the building. And we're now getting about almost 11,000 unique visitors to the website on a monthly basis. And 80% of them are spending actually a fair amount of time on the site when they go. Economically, you know, we work with, obviously, the one that most people think of is agriculture. And we work with 70% of the county farms. But, you know, we've grown a lot of the work we're doing with energy efficiency and renewable energy. The Green Building Tour, which just took place this weekend, is another example. And we've done a substantial amount with the local food economy. And a couple of things that we're moving in this, you know, we've been working on this past year, is this commercial kitchen, which will be a community kitchen, which we hope to locate at Neighborhood Pride in the section next to Neighborhood Pride, which will have We're looking at about 15 low-income or starting out food vendors or caterers, as well as a number of established caterers who would use that space, and it would be self-sustaining. We've been working with a group of about 20 food insecure community leaders who are really interested in developing driving the development of food policies for food insecure communities in Tompkins County. So they've been actually going to a number of different places around the country where other folks have been developing similar food policies and food policy councils. I did want to touch on this community impact piece as well, because it actually relates to a portion of the over target request that we made. So we've been working on a number of web-based tools for ourselves, which we also believe have value for other nonprofits. The first one is called Peaks, which is a crowdsourced fundraising website. Many of you have heard of Kickstarter or Indiegogo. This is like that, except that it's local. And we basically provide it free of charge to local groups to raise money. So that there was that walkathon that was just held recently used the site and raised $9,200. There's the Ithaca Community Harvest used it to raise almost $2,000, and there are a number of other campaigns that are starting. It's a useful site for people to sort of test some things out, to do so even large agencies could use this. We're currently talking to the Community Foundation about potentially using it with them. But it's a site that the intention is to make it broadly available to whatever nonprofit here in the county would want to use it. So when people actually use the site, it's also a way for them to generate awareness about their own program. So when they use it, it's not about cooperative extension, it's about the organization that's actually raising the money. So in this case, Green Star Community Projects was doing this, and when people go to the site, that's what they see is the organization that's actually promoting it. Another key one, which also points to some of what we're trying to do with our efficiency of operations. Over the course of the last 10 years, we've reduced our admin staff to program staff ratio by more than half. So we're, in other words, there are twice as many, the ratio of program staff to admin staff is now twice as high as it was 9 years ago. And this is a sort of a new thing for us, is to really begin to look at how we can use a web-based portal to do a lot more work for a number of things, including essentially to help us with compliance. So if people need to take a course or do something for compliance, right now the labor intensity for us, because it has to be recorded, we have to have it all on paper, it has to be on file and everything. Last year, the New York State law had required us to tell everybody how much money they were making, and it took us 5 days to pull together all the information, have people acknowledge the letters, send them back, and file all that. With this tool, we can do it in about a half an hour, and because it allows us basically to push it out, have people sign electronically, bring it back in, and we don't have to do anything more with it. It also gives us, there's a set of options in here that allow us, a lot of times we end up spending time on things because people don't do things right, including, even after 9 years, I was just saying something to somebody tonight, well, I'm sorry, I just didn't remember how to do that. But I could just simply go to this site and click on, and it has basically every process that we have is right there, step by step laid out, schematically done, and so on. Being able to say, sorry, I didn't know how to do it, won't be acceptable too much longer. We'll also be able to use it for basically managing all of our payments, our employee expense reimbursements and so on, electronically, without without the bookkeeping staff having to redo everything that gets submitted by staff. Right now, staff write things in by hand or they send it in electronically, but we don't have a way of connecting that directly to our bookkeeping software, and this will allow us to do that. So that by itself is going to save us about a quarter to a third of an FTE next year when we do that. that this, again, the intention with this website is to make it available to other folks. So there could be a My TCAT or a My TC Action or a My whatever. So now we go to the budget. So that's the change. You know, 2012 was 642. We've the net for this year that's recommended by Joe is 650, roughly 654. Let me go back here. I think I was supposed to. No, that's all I wanted to say about that. The major influences that are affecting some of what we're asking for. We do have a significant cutback in New York State funding. You know, as you know, the way it works is the law says that every county can have an association. If they to have it, they must sign a memorandum of agreement with Cornell each year, and also the county government has to put money into the association. And then if they do that, then the state says they will kick in money too. Well, we'll be seeing a significant cutback in New York funding for next year. And then we also have two large grant-funded projects that are going to be terminating with a net total loss of about $80,000 next year to our operating budget. Our annual operating budget is about $1.1 million, so that's an 8% reduction.
When you're talking the state, are you talking Cornell or New York State or both?
New York State. Okay. New York State. And then this is, we've now had 3 years. So we'll go into next year, it'll be 4 years without a pay increase. We have about about $2.4 million payroll. You know, if we had a 2% increase, that would be $48,000, which we do need to do something with pay increases. And I know times are tough and to say we need a pay increase, but now with the fourth year, if we go into next year without a pay increase, it'll be 4 years since staff have had a pay increase. Yes?
Pat, sorry. You want to wait till the end, or?
It's up to you.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, quickly.
And finally,
in that previous slide, what does termination of those grants mean? It doesn't sound like they were completed. Were they completed?
Oh, yeah, they're complete. Ending. Yes, they weren't cut off.
Okay. Thank you.
The cycle had ended. We actually had expected them to continue. So the cycle had ended, and we expected to have to reapply and do that. But they're not continuing with those programs. So in that sense, they have ended. It's unexpected in that sense.
Okay.
Finally, then if we asked for one-time funding. $42,000 to cover some of the assistance in restructuring. We did ask last year for the for some funding for that website developer, and the website developer was essentially half time. We'd like to make that website developer full time, so we're asking for essentially the same amount as we'd asked for last year, with. In other words, we asked for $20,000 last year. We had $20,000. That website developer has been generating will generate revenue in 2013 to cover half of his salary, and the intent would be to make him full time and ask for the other half from the county for 2013, and then with the expectation that in 2014 he'd be paying his own way, and the other. Funding in there is for other of our staff who we've essentially been moving from 100% paid coverage by county dollars to reductions in the amount that they actually get paid by the county, but with the name for them to make up the difference through their own entrepreneurial activities. And so we've moved some staff in previous years, last year, towards that, we're asking for some additional funding for this year to allow them other staff to build up their program to do the same thing. The difference between last year and this year is we used our reserves, our cash reserves, to cover the cost for folks who were developing their entrepreneurial activities in 2012, and we're at a place where we can't we don't have the reserves to ask to do that in 2013 with this new set of staff. And then the 12,000, the original request was for 17.9. The approval recommended is for 12,000, and that's not one time. That's target, and that's for support for salary increases. And we would still request, while we're extremely grateful for the 12, and I understand the situation with the county, we still would want to be on record for wanting the 17.9.
Questions for Ken?
What would that 12 be used for?
it's for salary increases. It would be.
What would it amount to in terms of salary increases? You were hoping to get 2%.
We would. That won't. I mean, again, if we're the way our structure is set up, we have an operating budget, which as I said is about 1.1, and there is about in that operating budget there's about 650 or 700,000 in salaries. So this 12,000 would be going towards that 650 to 700,000. So in other words, the people who are paid in there, this would be allocated for those folks who are paid in under that salary line in our operating budget. The rest of our budgets are basically enterprise budgets. So let me step back. Our total budget is about $5 million. About $5 million. $1.1 million is what we use for operating. The rest comes in what you might call soft money, grants and contracts, and so on. And that normally, when we are asking for pay increases from the county, that's to cover the money that's in our operating budget. That's to cover the people whose salaries are paid through the operating budget. So that would be the senior staff who are program leaders and so on, the people who are actually writing all the grants and contracts that carry out the rest of the operations in the organization. And then the staff who are funded through grants and contracts, the expectation is that in those grants and contracts there would be built in some sort of increase. What we would do this year is up in the air because so many of the grants and contracts that we're writing, people are also not getting allocating pay increases in there. So what will we do? Well, we don't exactly know how those will be allocated.
Brian.
Ken, in reading through the narrative for your for that particular OTR, I guess you're saying that was, in a perfect world, that would have gone for the management staff. It would have been roughly 3%, and the administrator's recommendation looks like 2%. That sound about right?
That's right.
Okay. Anyone else? Thank you, Ken. See you next year. Tompkins Community Action.
Jim, yes. You went too fast for me. So can I just ask Joe, so in that OTR, the difference between 2% and 3%, you couldn't fit the...
Yeah, we were trying to hold cost of living increases to about that 2% range. You'll see that in some other places as well. So with respect to agencies, we did try to limit cost of living increases to around 2%.
Are there other agencies that had previous year increases and this one did, and Carver Extension didn't, or... I mean, you know, 3 years with no increase. Was that true of all the agencies? I know I didn't see here this.
I think generally all the agencies took cuts. There may be some exceptions to it. I think what I'd rather do, Martha, is to get a schedule to show you what that trend has been. I mean, as opposed to trying to go from memory to think about cuts of the last 3 years. I can do that.
Thank you. Tompkins Community Action, take two. Go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. My name is Lee Dillon. I'm the Executive Director of Tompkins Community Action. Thank you for having me tonight. I'm going to go right to the budget. I think this is the second or third year we haven't asked for a change. And there it is, $156,283. Since I'm not asking for any other money, I thought maybe it might be nice to talk about some accomplishments, some goals, and then you can ask me questions. I'm not going to read this. I think that you all got slides.
You better read it, Lee.
I better read it?
It's printed in microscopic print
okay. That
we can't read.
I can barely read my own. The 1 millionth home in the United States was recently weatherized. It was last month as part of the American Reinvestment Recovery Act. Tompkins Community Action was part of those efforts. We served 386 homes within Tompkins County through our weatherization program. That helps low-income folks decrease their energy bills. I would ask you, I'd like to ask you for something, and not money tonight, but I'd like to ask you if you would contact your Congress folks. In spite of the national success, the budget for weatherization program under the 2013 continuing resolution stands at $65 million nationally. That is, the 2008 level was at $220 million. $65 million is significantly less than the 2008 level. That was prior to ARRA. Advocates for the program plan to urge the Department of Energy and the President to restore the funds to the 2008 levels, explaining that the current cut would only allow token allocations to local groups like Tompkins Community Action. So if you would, if you'd like to more information about that, I'd be happy to give it to you. Please contact me, and I would really appreciate your advocacy on that. Our Victory Garden project, the second year we've supplied, this year we supplied over 130 households with starter vegetable plants for their home gardens. Participants all were consumers of TC Action, which means that they're very low income, the majority of whom regularly use our food pantry to get through the month. We want to thank our thanks to the Cornell Horticultural Department, Professor Hansen, and local grower Doug Robinson for this successful project. And because of them, we will be doing the same thing next year. I wanted to tell you that one of our Chartwell House residents, Mr. Herman Owens, was awarded the New York State Community Action Association 2012 Personal Achievement Award this year, and then was honored by the Assistant Secretary of State, George Sheldon, at the Community Action Partnership Annual Conference, National Annual Conference in New York City in August. If I could talk about Mr. Owens for a bit, I think you'd like to hear about him. He came to Chartwell House in 2006 and faced some very tough personal obstacles, including major illness. With the assistance of staff and his counselors, he set personal milestones and goals for himself that he's achieved despite enduring major medical issues. He works at a local restaurant, started as a dishwasher, then he started training dishwashers and supervising the dishwashers. He completed all the janitorial work and is working in catering now. Maintaining his continued sobriety was and always will remain his first priority, but he's worked hard on his financial skills to reconnect with his family. For the first time in many years, he became financially independent. He now maintains two bank accounts, is learning to use a debit card, manages money between two accounts. He filed a tax return for the first time in his life last year. During the last 2.5 years, he's purchased a car, paid it off within 18 months, something I haven't ever done. He was able to attend his daughter's graduation from nursing school, and several months ago, he took his daughter and his granddaughter to Disney World. They have a second trip. They had such a good time, they're going to do it again next year. Staff at Chartwell submitted a nomination to the NISCA, we call it NISCA, New York State Community Action Association, NISCA Annual Awards, and Mr. Owens was able to get out of work for a couple days to attend the ceremony in Rochester. The nomination was then forwarded to the National Community Action Partnership annual meeting in New York City. And George Sheldon, the Assistant Secretary of State, honored Mr. Owens in his opening remarks. I just found out today that I think Mr. Owens might be moving out of Chartwell House. So I have to go see, talk to Herman about what his plans are. Head Start, early Head Start. We served over 346 children and their families throughout Tompkins County with school readiness, curriculum, and family development services. Strengthening and engaging families has been our focus this year, working with our community partners and also Community Action in Cortland County to take advantage of co-training opportunities shown to be very rewarding and successful, and we'll be continuing to do so. Partnering with DSS, the Tompkins County Foster Care Partnership has recently begun to enhance services to children and families experiencing foster care placement, bringing staff, families, and other children and their children additional support through training, early childhood education, family development services, home-based services, and affordable child care for children under the age of five. Patricia and I started talking about the increase in foster care placements. Very dramatic in our county. And there was a Health and Human Services opportunity, a grant opportunity. We wrote the grant together. Unfortunately, we didn't get the demonstration grant. We were pretty sure we weren't going to get the grant. I think there was about 10 in the country, and we're kind of small potatoes here in Tompkins County. But we've decided that we're going to move forward anyway, that we've maybe not be able to do we might not be able to co-locate a staff person at DSS, but staff from foster care and CPS and Tompkins Community Action have started working together, started training together, started learning about each other's programs. We will continue to do that training, and we will also continue to accept any child under anything. Our goal is to have every child under the age of five that's in foster care placed in Head Start services. 2013, I'm sure you've yelled at my name a few times trying to get down Route 13 the past year. Magnolia House is right next to Joe's, right next to Chartwell. It's occupancy for 14 studios for women in recovery with or without children experiencing homelessness, expected to open in March. We've had a little setback this year because of the utility wires being too close to the building. That took several months to rectify, but now we're moving forward again. And I'm hoping that March is the outside date that we're going to be opening. Right now we're looking at colors, furniture, programming, so it's getting pretty exciting for us. We hope to, in 2013, implement our comprehensive centralized consumer intake system. It'll enhance referrals and benefit assessment, creating a seamless process for consumers to access TC Action programming and better tracking of agency and consumer outcomes. Centralized intake, saving people from duplicating meetings, paperwork, streamlining paperwork. Oftentimes people that come to Tompkins Community Action only know us for one thing. They may know us at Head Start, and they don't actually realize they could apply for weatherization at the same time. So this system will do a benefit analysis with a real person and the consumer, and will tell folks what they're eligible for and make a referral right at that time. Early childhood initiatives, we've got lots of them. Early childhood school readiness, math and science curriculum enhanced with our collaborator, the Science Center. We're working on that, bringing math and science, bumping it up a little bit in our little classrooms with the little people. LANA, learning about nutrition through activities curriculum, combines introduction of fruits and vegetables at meals with classroom lesson plans, books, and activities. The Incredible Years curriculum, enhancement for children living in poverty who have experienced trauma. You may have heard a lot of stuff about trauma lately. It seems as though people have finally realized that being in poverty is very traumatic. expanding our translation services with Cornell University, providing information and results in native languages. We do hearing and speech, all kinds of screenings, and hand somebody something in English when they don't speak English. And so we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to give it to them in their native language so that they can understand where their children are. And we have seven in our classrooms. We have seven different distinct languages that are being spoken in about 13 classrooms. Collaborating with Catholic Charities, we're hoping that they receive the Office of New Americans grant from the Department of State. We want to expand Head Start, early Head Start services into immigrant New American family child care homes, bringing in early childhood education and Head Start services. We now that Magnolia House is almost done, we're ready for a new project. We're investigating the feasibility and design of a new supportive housing program for young families. We've hired an architect, Tom Schickel, to conduct a feasibility study and begin a design study. We'd like to include childcare, housing for young families, independent youth. I'm sure that they came and gave a presentation to you again this year, the Learning Web and the and Cornell. And you saw that we have hundreds more youth identified as being independent, perhaps a community center and some training space for them. I think that Kevin helped pass out our annual report this year. I want to thank you for your continued support. And
anyone have any questions, please raise your hand. Martha.
Hi, thanks, Lee. So you're not asking for an increase again this year. What's your total budget, $156,000?
It's in that report we
total
got.
Total budget, I think, after R, we got about $8
million. It's $8.4
million. $8.4 million.
After the Affordable the Recovery Act, you're saying?
Yeah. Most of the recovery money, there might be a little bit. There's $2 million still in there, Ara.
I see. Okay. All right. What about salaries for staff? Are they flat? Or
salaries for staff, we've been able to provide 2% increases for the past 3 years. 2012 was 2% increases. We're still a living wage provider. I'm not sure. Resizing after ARA, the board and the staff, we haven't done a salary study. We'll be doing that soon for 2013. I don't know if we'll be able to maintain the 2% for 2013, but I hope that we can. We also haven't gotten our costs yet from our healthcare providers. We pay 78% of employees' health insurance, and so those factor into the kinds of raises and kinds of health care we can provide.
Okay.
That happens in November, December.
Okay. Different topic. Section 8 vouchers. Do you have a waiting list?
Yes, we do. We have a waiting list. It's around 2 years long. It's about, at any given time, it averages around 400 families. 400, 500 families.
In other words, if I sign up for a voucher tomorrow, I might get the voucher 2 years from now?
Yep.
And then that's just a hunting license to try to go find a place to use it?
Yeah. I know that we've been pretty successful finding housing for folks, but it has gotten increasingly more difficult. I'm glad to see that more housing is going up.
Okay. Anyone else?
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you very much.
Tompkins County Public Library.
Good evening. I had to take a moment. I saw some great collaboration opportunities in that presentation. So So, good evening. I'm Susan Curry. I'm the director of the Tompkins County Public Library. And I always appreciate the opportunity to come and talk with you about the library. I get very excited about talking about the library, even when it is the budget. I also want to thank the county administrator and everyone in that office, Kevin, Marcia, everyone, for all the work that you do on the budget. I especially want to thank the legislature. It's always an enormous task. I'm amazed at how many late meetings you have. And I think the past 3 years have been especially challenging. This is the proposed 2013 budget, which shows our revenues from all areas. This includes revenues from the city, the town, the state, and from private funds. As Joe explained in his September 4th memorandum for the 2013 budget, the recommendation for the library is for an over-target request of $159,000 with $20,000 in one-time funding for technology. Before I talk anymore, I'd just like to say thank you. We very much appreciated the county administrator's recommendations, and especially the recognition of the structural deficit we have. And a number of library trustees are here tonight, and they also express their appreciation for that recognition. The first over-target request helps us maintain the current number of staff, and also helps maintain, helps with a small contractual increase for the staff. It also helps us with the New York State retirement and health insurance increases. The second over-target request helps our helps us keep our technology up to date. And for a library, that's something that's critical these days. Last year, we also received a one-time over-target for technology, and we used it to replace all of the old public computers that are heavily used every day and upgrade the operating systems to Windows 7. But we also used it to replace some very old dot matrix printers that had been used for processing materials, books, DVDs, and the like. This was equipment that was purchased when the library first moved to the current location, and the staff wanted me to say thank you very much for the replacement of those printers. What I always like to do is talk a little bit about what county funding provides. What do you get for your money? Most importantly, county funding covers the staffing of the library, which provides all of the library services to the community. Without the staff, we cannot make the collections accessible. We can't offer educational programs or make research materials available. I'm very lucky to work with a very talented staff. They've worked hard and cooperatively, and they certainly work across departments to provide first-rate services. So I think the county investment in the public library is provides so much to the community. And the library is very heavily used. It's used for reading, for access to information, tutoring. We have tutors in the library every day, and a lot of people come to study. We're also a place for those in need. In snowy weather, we offer a warm place when many buildings are closed, and when there are heat warnings, we offer a cool respite. Ensuring access to books and other collections, as well as access to the internet and digital content, is our top priority. This past summer, I'd like to give you three examples. I can talk endlessly about the library, but I'll give you three very specific examples of some of the amazing services we provide. We had a request from Kindle, from the residents there. They wanted to know more about downloading free books and online music. So we sent four of the library staff up there. The response was so overwhelming, we could have had at least 8 to 10 staff helping people, and we are going to have a follow-up session. They really wanted to know about downloading free e-books, the online audiobooks, and the music, but they also wanted help learning to use their smartphones and their devices. So we started, knowing that people are interested more in technology. We have a group of library staff who go out into the community. They call themselves freeloading librarians because they talk to people about how to download free e-books, online music, and audio books. And they have been to the farmer's market, coffee shops. They went to the mall. They've been to the Y. And we also set up twice a week in-house tutorials. So people can come in, sign up for a one-on-one help to get to learn how to download materials, but also just how to use the materials. One of the things that we see is that people expect more of their library in the digital age, not less. The second example I'll give you is just this past week, I think it was last Thursday, I was walking through the library, and one of the volunteers who was shelving AV material stopped me to tell me that she's a mother who homeschools her children. She said that she completely depends on the library, the collections, and the library staff to help her, that our public library is her children's school library, and that they need all of the resources on a daily basis. And in her appreciation, she volunteers to help with the collection. The third example is that in response to an identified need, we've organized informal weekly conversation groups for English as a second language learners. And these are sessions that are designed for people to help non-English speaking residents and visitors meet their personal language goals through English conversation. I'd also like to just give you a summary of some of the key measurements that we use in tracking the use of the library. In terms of the collection use, the physical collection continues to be heavily used, both in-house and through traditional circulation. A library's collection, a public library's collection, is intended to serve the immediate needs of the community and to evolve as the needs change. So in the past few years, shifts in the publishing and bookselling world, as well as the county's demographics, require that we have a collection and of books and other media which is continually added to and refreshed. We do see the increasing use of e-books, as I've talked about before, and these circulate just like the physical collection does. We saw an increase of 113% in downloadable materials in 2011, and we know that's going to increase in 2012. On a weekly basis, our reference librarians help people with between 15 and 20 different types of devices, certainly for the downloadable books, but people basically bring in their devices and say, can you help me set this up? Can you help me download the latest software? Can you help me figure out how to use this? We had someone come in and ask for help setting up his iTunes library. Even though I think Apple does a really great job with their website. It's very intuitive. This person felt that he wanted to have a person help him with this, one of the librarians. Wireless use is increasing, and we routinely max out our bandwidth every day. And as I note on the slide, we had over 25,000 hours of laptop use. That's just laptops. It doesn't include all of the other devices which consume bandwidth. Just last week, I saw someone standing outside the Ezra Cornell reading room. I couldn't figure out if he was peering into the library or what he was doing, but he was outside with his tablet using the library's free wireless access, and we see that often. We see an increase in reference transactions. This is where people come to ask for research help, getting the information that they need. And I would just note that even though we saw 3% overall for the library in use services last year, they had a 10% increase in reference questions. So one of the things that I like to show, this is a little bit of a busy slide, but it's something that you can find on our website. And I do love to show people this. I think it's important because it is a way of people learning about their return on investment, for you to learn about return on investment. I think the library is one of the best examples of a cooperative purchasing arrangement. And we very much appreciate the trust that the library will do the best possible for the county residents. This is information from the Library Value Calculator. It's a place where people can estimate their savings when they use the library. And when we plug in our annual statistics, we see some pretty amazing savings for the community. In fact, when I plugged in our statistics for 2011, we provided more than $13 million worth of free services to the community. So there's an explanation on the side there where the numbers came from, but you can get a lot more information on the website, and I'm happy to get that information to you if you're interested in how we figured this out. So this slide shows the over-target requests that were not supported by the 2013 budget. And I would say how much we appreciate what is recommended. I think it's important to me to explain and important for you to understand why we requested these over-target amounts. Between 2009 and 2011, we experienced a decrease in revenues and increases in expenses, which led to a big structural deficit in the library. We mitigated this by loss of staff, and we did it through attrition, and we avoided costly layoffs. And if you were to ask me which of these two is the most critical, it would be difficult to choose. But I would have to say the additional librarian is important because we are committed to meeting the immediate increasing needs of the community. I'd like to take a little bit of time to outline for you the way the 2009-2011 economy impacted the library. Of extreme concern to us is our structural deficit resulting from having to use our fund balance to balance our budget. Our fund balance will be gone in 1 to 2 years. We could continue to use it, but that is inadvisable. Our auditors recommend that we keep between 5 and 15% of our total operating budget in the fund balance. We will have to use our fund balance again to balance the budget for 2013. We've had to reduce some of the core educational programs, such as story time, which is literacy support. We're not able to staff our reference desk at all times to meet the demand. And we especially need this for the increasing help with technology and accessing online information. The library tries to collaborate extensively, and we have some wonderful opportunities to expand some of our literacy programs. The best example is the Kids Discover the Trail program, which is a kindergartner program, and this is in collaboration with the Ithaca Public Education Initiative, the Ithaca City School District, and the Trumansburg Schools, and we've had 100% participation from those classes. The KDT would very much like to expand to all schools in Tompkins County, and there's great interest from the schools themselves. It would be an incredible support for education and literacy for every kindergartner in the county to come to the largest library in a 5-county area. Our library should be a main resource for everybody in the county, and I think we should be a resource for all organizations as well. We're also the central library for the Finger Lakes Library System. We've already absorbed work from the Finger Lakes Library System because they've had reduced staff due to state cuts. We've been notified of additional work that we have to take on in 2013. We will need to be responsible for all the materials sent through interlibrary loan from our library. That's something that they had been doing. Last year, we took on some of the work of receiving materials at the building that had been done by them. And there are some programs that we should take on that we're not able to. One that is very important to residents is the Mail It program. This is a program that mail books, DVDs, and CDs to shut-ins. We know what's required, but we're not able to take this additional work on now. That was a cut that Finger Lakes made to their program as they lost staff. Another area where we've seen a significant impact of the economy is in the collections. The collection includes all formats, books, newspapers, DVDs, CDs, both in full text. We have full text, online, every kind of format you can imagine. Current annual funding for new acquisitions comes entirely from private dollars, which need to be raised anew each year. From 2010 to the present, we've seen the total number of materials decrease, resulting in fewer people served, higher numbers of interlibrary loan requests, and a 14% increase in items placed on hold. We had a 6% decrease over the last year in magazine subscriptions, and that's been a trend over the past 3 years. As the central library, we serve all 33 libraries in the Finger Lakes system, and this includes all of the rural Tompkins County public libraries as well. The current staffing levels are the same as 1999, which is the last year the library was in the old building. And as I mentioned earlier, in order to meet the decreasing budget over recent years, we have not replaced staff unless they are absolutely necessary. We're fortunate to have a dedicated staff, and they have worked very hard with me, and through exhausting commitment to their jobs, they've taken on critical responsibilities of the positions we haven't been able to replace. Earlier, I described all of what we offer, but I think that we're maxed out at this point. I'm not sure how much more we will be able to do. We need to be covering all of the hours needed at the reference desk and restore the educational story times that have been cut due to staff loss. And we really need to be doing more for special populations such as seniors and teens, who are often our most vulnerable residents and the first to suffer when other agencies face reductions. And we see them every single day in the library. It's a busy library. We will request a waiver in 2013 for not meeting the state requirement in 2012 for the number of hours to be open. If the waiver is granted, we'll have 2 years to figure out how to bring the library up to standard. I showed you all of those statistics. They will go down in 2012, but not because the demand decreases, because the staffing levels are such that it's just not possible to continue to meet that level of need. We try to always say yes to serve the community, any opportunity to collaborate. I do worry that we are reaching that limit. In closing, what I would say to you is that we very much understand the tough economy. I know and appreciate how much the legislature has helped the library over the past few years, because it's been a really difficult economy. I know that you've tried to be as equitable as possible, but I want to say that we're very appreciative of the recommendations for this year. Yes?
Can we get done, and then I will call on you, okay?
Yeah, right. I was just putting you on, asking to be
and
on.
And I've seen you both.
Okay. I'd like to tell you, the one thing I would share with you is, because I feel so fortunate to work in this library, is when I ask the staff, when I go over these presentations with them and ask them what are our commitments to our community, here's what they said. We're committed to our community. Our goals are to support literacy and reading, to serve the public's information needs, to bridge the digital divide, and to offer community, cultural, and civic awareness. Thank you. Questions?
Okay, I have Pat, Pam, and Peter.
Susan, do you have any reason to expect that the waiver will be granted, and what will happen if it's not?
I expect that the waiver will be granted. What happens, okay. The process for the waiver is that the state library gets in touch with Finger Lakes Library System, mm-hmm. It's where the central library, and notifies them that we're not at standard for 60 hours for a population of over 100,000. And then they will be in touch with, I think, simultaneously the Board of Trustees, the county, and us. And then we will have to begin formulating a plan for how we will come up to standard. A waiver has been granted to Tompkins County Public Library in the past. When I look in the files, it can only be granted every so many years, and a number of years have passed since it was granted that I would expect we would get it.
I had a second question. Does the budget for 2013 meet the maintenance of standard?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So you're talking about the maintenance of effort at Central Library for funding. Yes,
sorry,
it
yeah.
does. It does. Yeah. And that's a very complicated formula, and I'm very happy that it doesn't come into play this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Pam.
Well, Susan, thank you very much. It's very disturbing to hear some of these figures you're talking about. And I was just wondering, what will you do? I mean, your fund balance is disappearing, and
it is.
Do you have a plan in place? I mean, it feels as if we don't come through, what's plan B here? And
well, what we are doing right now is scrutinizing every single expenditure. And, at the end of 2012, we will see what funds we have. Somebody who's out on family leave, we will see how much we've been able to save for that. We had another person who relocated to be with her family. So we're looking at every savings that we have. And but we're going to end up, I fear, being a shell of the kind of library we should be if this continues over the years. I think we might be okay in 2013. It's after 2013 that we will have a terrible problem. It'll be gone. The fund balance will be gone.
Well, I'm okay. Thank you.
Peter. Well, I was going to say pretty much the same thing that Pam said, so I'm going to try to add something a little different to it. It sounds to me like a crisis situation in a year or two, you're not going to be asking for over-target requests. You're saying that somehow you can't live unless we make a fundamental change in the way that we fund it. And it does seem to me to be a crisis situation, and that I don't know what to suggest, but I think that there has to be some kind of a serious study between you and us to figure out exactly what we're going to do, because it ain't going away. I mean, if I understand what you were saying, then you simply will not be able to live. I mean, you can't ask for waivers
forever.
So I do think this, rather than 2 years from now, is the time to jointly come together to make some kind of a plan as to what's going to happen. So.
That would be, yes, I would appreciate that very much.
I have Brian, Leslie, and Will.
No, I was stretching.
I was telling you.
I see. Leslie,
trying to help out my buddy here.
Okay,
Leslie, help me out. So, the maintenance of effort, the whole state formula. What we have here,
it's a different kind of maintenance of effort.
Okay, so let me ask the question then. The state formula, we have a certain obligation we need to meet a certain percentage. Were we able to do that with or without this over-target request that was recommended?
With the over-target request.
With the over-target request. Thank you.
Will.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for this presentation, and thanks also for that wonderful presentation that you gave to a few of us late spring or whatever. I was sorry that more of us, for whatever reason, were not able to join, but every time I am exposed to what you do, I come away totally impressed. And I completely agree with Peter's expression of concern. We've got to deal with the structural issue. I do have a question just about a small little itty piece of your budget, and because I just don't quite understand the economics of the e-books. You mentioned that they circulate
just like print
budgets. Is this a cost-effective thing for you?
It's a publisher-driven thing. That publishers want e-books to circulate the same as physical books.
Okay. But you pay for them.
That
could be a whole separate thing. But I'm just wondering if this offers a promise for cost savings for the library, or is it just
on the surface? It always appears to be a real cost savings because you don't have the physical book.
Yeah.
But you still need the staff to make the links, to do the selection, to do the cataloging, to make it accessible. So there probably over the long haul may be some cost savings. I think electronic always appears to be very cost savings, but you still need the people behind the doors to make them accessible. So.
Thank you.
I have myself in. Susan, where are you in the life of your bargaining, of your contracts now?
This was a new thing for me. I've never negotiated a contract. I asked the staff if they would work with me to do a one-year contract so that I could learn the process, so that I, and also so that I didn't get myself into trouble over the next 3 years. The support staff association contract has been in place, was signed and is in place. It went very well. The professional staff association contract is close to being finished. It has been a very good process, good learning process, and I believe the staff have worked really collegially with me. I've really enjoyed it. I know that sounds crazy, but it was a really interesting learning experience.
May I ask, what do you project the length of the contract? How many years?
Just a year. So next year.
They're both 1 year.
They're both 1 year, and we'll start right next year negotiating again. One of the things that we use this year for is to identify what training for contract negotiations would help us have a better system in place. And we've worked with Anita Fitzpatrick, who is helping us to get scheduled for, I think it's called facilitated intensive negotiation, which we think that will be a really good system for us.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Pat, and then Martha.
How did you accumulate the fund balance to begin with?
The Finance and Personnel Committee worked with the previous library director and believe they accumulated that over a period of years through a number of mechanisms. Most likely, any vacant position that was open was not filled unless critically necessary. That's what I've been doing. But I think 41 FTE is as low as we can go. Before I started at the library, if you saw the slide, it was at 49 FTE. When I started, just about a year ago this week, it was at 47, and we've steadily decreased it as a way of maintaining what fund balance we had, using it to balance the budget for any increases that we had. So we're not able to add to it anymore. We don't have anything to accumulate anymore.
Have your staff had the same salary freezes that the rest of county staff has had?
They have not, to my knowledge.
So have they had increases every year?
Before I started, there was a contract negotiation that was successfully concluded, and I think they had a 2.25%. The contract I negotiated with them was for 1% for 1 year.
Thank you.
I have Martha, Frank, and Leslie.
One of my questions was what the negotiated agreement was. There used to also be an issue about one payment of time and a half, I guess, on Saturdays and Sundays.
That was negotiated away before I started.
Okay, so if somebody's scheduled for 40 hours and it happens to include a Saturday, that's not extra time, right. That's straight time?
Right.
And same for Sunday?
So Sunday for the SSA is still at time and a half. We're open 22 Sundays a year, though, so we try to budget for that.
SSAs, that's support.
The support staff. I'm okay. Sorry.
And I hear you about the fund balance. Obviously, I agree. It's a crisis. It's a structural problem. I'm a little in the light of that. I'm a little surprised. I'm sure it's really rewarding to teach people how to use their personal electronic devices, but, you know, and to go to Kindle with four staff people and show them how to use Kindles, but is that really our job?
Well, one of the things about the library in the 21st century is that connecting with the community is one of the most important things. We were invited to do this, and one of the ways that we were able to do that is that we try to collaborate across every organization. That includes graduate schools for students who are getting their degrees. So we had two interns who helped with that process. So we are using interns to help deliver those services.
Okay, that's good.
Frank.
Thanks, Jim. Susan, I'm sorry I missed your presentation earlier this year. I'm going to try to use a technique that my colleague Peter Stein uses. I'll disguise my statement in the form of a question.
You got that patented, you know.
Susan, years ago when this board induced you to move into the new building, which is not so new anymore, there was a study done by your predecessor, Janet Steiner, that was a 5-year strategic plan that laid out where you would be over the next 5 years. Do you have access to those old records?
Oh, yes, I do. And we just completed, we're required, all public libraries are required by the state to have a new strategic plan subsequent year. So we have a new strategic plan, which I will send you.
The reason I mentioned that one specifically, and many of you weren't sitting around this table at that time, but some of you were, there was a commitment made by this legislature to help fund this organization, particularly with this staff. And it was a long-range commitment. And I think you should remind this legislature of the commitment it made at that time, because the same issues that we're facing now with short funding from the state and also the short funding elsewhere, cutting back on staff and everything else, you shouldn't have to face every single year. We're all facing dire times.
Well, it's very hard for me. As a person who loves what I do, and I'm positive, it's very hard for me to come to you and give these terrible numbers. But I would not be doing my job if I didn't show you exactly what the state of the library is. But I also recognize that part of this is because of the economy over the last 3 years. I will be happy to find, I know exactly what you're talking about, Frank, and be happy to find that.
Well, Martha's question about whether the folks at the library ought to be going into the community to educate, I think that's a wonderful thing that you are doing and that you do have a responsibility. There was a teacher that used to sit just about in the same seat that Pat sits in, a woman by the name of Ethel Nichols, who used to champion library services, and I like to say that I joined her not only that time but now. So I really think you ought to make an effort to get those numbers out and remind us of the commitment that was made then. I really do.
Thank you. A library's responsibility is to support the educational organizations in the county, and I think that outreach is really one of the most important things, particularly in this day and age. One of the things we did this year is organize with TST BOCES a reception and tour for all of the school librarians in the county. We had pretty much 100% participation for them to come and learn about the resources from the library. So we're trying to do that as often as possible.
I have Leslin, Brian, Pam, and myself.
Thank you, Jim. Susan, I am wondering if you can share some what's going on with fundraising at the library, Friends of the Library, or even your board. Looking at some of these things, I wonder where that could help, or even some of the services Martha is talking about. And all, what do you say, Frank, with all due respect? Is that your phrase? I don't think that this body has, you know, shirked its responsibility in terms of trying to continue to support the library and the library staff. You know, there are a lot of other people, as we all know, out there that we're trying to support as well, but we certainly do our best when it comes to the library. So anyhow, Susan, if you can speak to where you are in terms of fundraising, just as I'm looking at the one-time technology infrastructure portion of this and thinking of maybe there is a potential grant or something that could help with something like this. So I don't know where those things are.
We apply for as many grants as possible, and one of the things that we do with grants I've been there 3 years, and all 3 years we've had a grant for a big portion of the summer reading program. We have a library foundation who spends a lot of time looking for grants that will support the library and applying for them. And I'm afraid to even say which one we've just applied for. We just applied for earlier this year a very large grant from the Institute of Museum and Library Services. And that would be a significant fundraising opportunity for us. So we spent a lot of time talking to other organizations in the county, the Science Center, the members, other members of the Discovery Trail, to see if we could, Ithaca College, we're trying to collaborate with a lot to try to get this giant grant. But on a regular basis, we are able to get grants, and our foundation does do quite a bit of fundraising for any publicity and PR and media that we put out. They do the fundraising for that. We also, of course, work with the Friends of the Tompkins County Public Library and meet with them quite regularly to talk about our fundraising needs. There was 1 year, I believe it was in 2011, where they gave us a special one-time, or 2010, that they gave us a special one-time gift to help with some of the reductions that we had had. So we are constantly doing a lot of fundraising.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Brian.
Hi. I looked in our budget book for state funding that you get, and I didn't see it anywhere. And if you know where it is, that's great.
I can tell you what it is. I don't know where it is in your book. But
okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
And then I have a follow up.
Okay. In 2012, we got about 3.2% of our budget. It was about $109,000.
Okay. And that decreased, or you expect it to decrease?
That
what did it do from 11 to 12?
From 11 to 12, it actually increased a little. It was only $79,000 last year in 2011.
Okay. Yeah, you're not helping me out with my point here.
Uh-oh.
In the last 5 years, let's say.
Oh, in the last 5 years,
yeah.
I don't have a percentage over the top of my head, off the top of my head, where it's decreased, but I can send it to you.
Okay.
Because that was a steadily decreasing amount of money
from the state.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, because that does help.
Yeah.
And
that's why the 2 years that I've done, the first 2 years that I did these presentations, I had to explain the maintenance of effort, which doesn't come up very often, and it's a formula that looks at the average of the previous 2 years of the main public funding. Can't go below 95% of the average of the previous 2 years, or the state funding goes away.
Okay. I guess my question in the form of a statement is that funding has steadily decreased from the state, yet they mandate the hours that you're going to be open, or they're going to cut funding even more.
Right. Well, there's a very
and we have, but we could probably fill this room with departments and agencies that we end up trying to fill the gap. And
I know there's an interesting thing for central libraries as well, is that because we're the central library for the Finger Lakes library system, we can never go below 55 hours a week, ever, or all kinds of bad things start to happen. And we've managed that, and we're fine. We're fine. But the state requirements for population levels, so 60 hours. So we're fine with the 55 hours. And for 22 weeks out of the year, we're actually open 59 hours.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and call it a unfunded or not so great funded mandate, but Joe will. He'll see. Thank you.
Pam.
Thank you. I just had a follow-up to Leslin's question about fundraising. It sounds as if you, when you're talking about fundraising, you're talking mostly about grant writing. But you do actually do fundraising out in the community in terms of just going out and having events and raising dollars, or you do?
Yeah, the foundation has a number of events every year for beyond grants.
Okay.
They have two main events every year. They have a one in the spring and one in the fall. We just had the fall annual appeal.
Okay.
So they are doing ongoing fundraising, and I spend a lot of time talking to people about the importance of supporting the library.
And how much money does the library raise through its fundraising?
The foundation.
The foundation.
The foundation raises about 3 to 5% each year. It starts low each year because they do the fundraising anew, so it can range between 3 and 5% of our budget each year.
So that translates into how much in dollars?
The foundation is... Well, that's not on my... But I can send that to you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. I have it for the state, the town, the city, but not... And the Friends, even. They start with about $40,000 every year. There's always a baseline. But they're also from the foundation. There are endowments, book endowments, that people will give a book endowment in honor of a loved one, and it goes to purchasing materials for the collection. So it can, you know, get up to $100,000 from the foundation a year, but it's a moving target always because they start at the beginning of the year giving us about 2%, and it increases as the year goes on.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
Martha.
You read my mind. I was going to ask you what the city and the town contribute.
The city gives us 0.4%. It's about $14,000 a year through sales tax. And the town of Ithaca gives us $20,000 a year. That's about 0.6%.
And does the sales tax go up along with if sales tax goes up and down if it goes down?
Since I've been there, we've gotten between 13,000 and 14. This year, 2012, it looks like it will be 14,000, which is we budgeted for about 13,000, so we have a little bit to put in that fund balance. but that's
the
most
way.
I know, but that's the most that we've gotten for the sales tax since I've been here.
Okay, and the town, that's it's been 20,000 for a couple of years, right?
Since I've been there, 3 years.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I have Frank and Leslin. Leslin, you ever hand up again?
I did.
Frank and then you. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Martha, the sales tax piece is that piece within that 1%. Mm-hmm. And that's about the only time it adjusts.
Of the sales tax agreement? Is that part
yeah.
of the Thank you. That's what I wanted to
It's part of that sales tax agreement.
Thank you.
And that has gone. We started at about $1,500 when we started that, and it's crept up over the years. Susan, what I wanted to ask you is the a number of years ago we had an interest in working with the Ithaca City School District because a lot of the kids were using the library after school. And there was some collaboration with the school district about funding certain things or helping in maybe in kind in a certain way. And Pat or Pam, whoever asked the question about fundraising, is there a an effort being made or has that has it run its course with working with the school district at all?
No, we want to work with the school district as much as possible. I mean, part of that, the Ithaca Public Education Initiative, which helps with the Discovery Trail, the Kids Discover the Trail, is a direct collaboration with the Ithaca City School District. And the Ithaca Public Education Initiative raises funds to help with that kindergarten program. So... and we want to do even more with the Ithaca City School District.
Thank you.
I left myself here. I want to be the purveyor of the obvious. We had sort of related to or on top of what Frank said, many commitments were made by state government, federal government, local government to many things over the past 10, 15 years. Unfortunately, 2008 and 2009 happened, and we're now dealing in a new normal. And, you know, so I think, while I understand completely what the problem is in this group and also other groups, that then we have to look at the totality of the effort and see what we can do in the final analysis. And one of the other things that came to me and has nothing to do with the county legislature budget or the library budget, a few years ago or a year or so ago, we passed some resolution that said we were going to control our electronic devices. We haven't really done that very well. At any rate, any other questions for...
May I ask a clarifying question, Ms. Susan?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. In response to Frank's question about the school district, are you saying that there's no direct aside from IPI, which is its own separate nonprofit organization, there's no direct funding or support that comes from the Ithaca City School District to the library?
Not that I know of. Okay. It may be, I mean, I'm still learning things, even after 3 years, but I don't know of it.
It's a hard community to be learning things, girl. Changes every day.
Budgeting. I don't know how you can call a budget straight, but I don't think so. I don't see anything in our budget. I'm looking at the trustees over here. I don't think we've seen any direct funding from the school. All right.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Susan.
Thank you very much.
The district attorney. Thank you, Susan. While Gwen is making her way forward, in the packet of materials that got handed out tonight, there was also something I wanted to highlight. The questions that were asked about TCAD, the Return Investment on the City of Ithaca Initiative, direct services, I want you to take note of those when you get an opportunity.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Gwen.
Hey. I hear this is the last one. That you were.
Yes.
We save the best for last.
Thank you. I like to think so too. All right. I have three slides for you. Get ready. Okay. I think you're probably all familiar with this one. Why don't I just, there's only three. Let's just look at them, and then we can talk about questions on the OTRs. And that's the last. I'll leave that one up because that is the over-target request. Our budget, while it does contain one very large OTR, basically we haven't added any people. We haven't lost any people. We have rearranged some of the people in the office. Are there any questions about the basic part of the budget before we get into the OTRs? Any of you have any? There really isn't anything radically new or different this year in regards to our usual operations. Brian?
It looks like you, I haven't looked this all over, but it looks like you lost an ADA from last year. Did you make it up in another position?
What we did, we have the exact same people in the office. I want to designate one as a deputy.
Oh.
So you'll see the deputy DA line shows a 1.0 FTE this year. This is just in response to the ongoing state of affairs where I actually do have someone operating as a deputy and have had for a couple of years now. Because Stop DWI took on the services to about a third of the job of the investigator and are paying a 30.3 of that FTE, we are now able to fund the deputy salary line, which is slightly higher. So same number of people, different job title for one of them.
Yep. All right.
Anyone else have a question? Will, did you have a question? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The over-target requests, which have been supported by the budget, are two. We'll start with the big one. This is the part of the capital project to, in the case of my department, to provide us with a case management system. This basically is going to mean software, Spillman compatible, that will enable us to function to keep our files, to keep our court documents, to keep our police reports, and to manage everything electronically against the day, which is probably only a few years off, when we're actually going to be filing electronically in the courts. It's going to be the same as it is in the federal court system now. We're going to be doing electronic filing. We're not going to be carrying huge paper files to court. We're going to be dealing with electronic files. Now, the database that we have is the one that George Dentist invented. He actually wrote it. in 1991 or so. It really was an act of genius for its time. It was cutting edge. It's DOS-based, and it was written in 1991. And now some of the other systems that we're working with, Spillman, that other aspects of the LET system, are just not compatible with that management system. So this is what it costs to do it, and it is... it is the way of the future, and it is a project that I think is worthwhile. I think that we will probably see the benefits immediately. We're looking at getting this installed. If Greg is accurate in his optimism, probably in the next year to year and a half, and it's... It's the new system. Questions, Brian?
Yeah, just the one. Not on that. That's almost a pretty obvious one that you're going to have to.
Yeah, there's not much choice.
Going to have to keep with the times. Your first one, the professional services.
Oh yeah.
Is that the human professional services?
Yes.
Okay.
Expert
testimony, that sort of stuff?
Yes. Expert analysis and testimony. Prime example, if you recall, in the recent Corbin White trial, We had the guy testify. He did all the analysis of the range to tower to pinpoint the location of the cell phone when the fateful telephone call was made.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that, expert testimony in medical cases, psychiatric expert testimony, that's exactly what it is.
I don't know if that's ever been in your line before. Well, first off, I don't think that's anywhere near enough.
You're right.
Average, but...
You're right.
I mean, the one you just alluded to was, what, 30, something like that? The telephone?
20s, maybe high 20s.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know if it was... Because sometimes we have professional services, and it's, maintenance on a... What your priority two is. That would be a professional service.
Oh, no, that's...
But this is the human professional services.
Yes.
Okay.
And it probably would also include, for example, the contract for the grand jury stenographer. We contract with a stenographer, we don't use the regular court stenographers, to take the grand jury testimony down. And I'm pretty sure she's in that line as well.
I have Martha and then Frank and Dooley. Go ahead, Martha.
Thank you, Jim. I'm looking at Section 4, page 115. There is a high number for professional services. Is that... That's this?
It's both.
That's these two together.
That's the 175 plus 7,500.
Okay.
And I'm not exactly sure why, but... That's both of those.
Kevin's got a comment here.
Just make a quick comment to clarify. We actually created a new system to actually track all of our expenditures, and we're seeing that year after year, this particular line item in the DA's office has been under budgeted. So this is an attempt to fix that problem, because continually every year it's just been they're spending the money, and the only place they've been able to pay for it is through contingency funds. So this is an attempt to fix an ongoing problem.
Okay, but
thank you.
I mean, I see that the 7,500 is target, and that will help next year. But the 175 is one time for the software. So that's a little misleading. In other words, the total recommended of 270 is not going to look like that next year. I'm looking at. There's target in that line is 87,628. Okay. I'm looking at professional services.
And Martha, what's the question?
So the ongoing, so the 7,500 of the OTR is not the only money for these kinds of professional services, these kinds of expert testimony and that. Right?
That's correct. That's an add-on to the baseline.
And the baseline is around 87.
Well, all told for the entire department, including, I think, all sections, it is about 87,000 is the baseline.
For the entire department?
Yes.
For professional services?
In professional services. So we're adding 7,500 that will be target, we'll keep going, and 175 in one-time money for a one-time expense of software and the installation of the system.
That's included in the professional
services. Yeah, and it probably looks a little weird that it's in professional services. Why would you buy software charged to that account? I think the way we looked at it was we will need to procure the service. We will need to buy it through some kind of an RFP or process, so we simply put it into that account.
Okay.
So in 2014, that will come out of there. The 175 will come out
of that account. I guess I would maybe this is a suggestion for a budget book that's otherwise perfect. If one-time expenses like that could be on a different line, that, don't you think? I mean, it seems like this is so. Next year, it's going to look like, wow, we're going to go down from 270 to 95 or something. And, what?
I think they can take that suggestion and take it over.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Frank.
Thanks, Jim. Hey, Gwen. On the OTR for the installation of the case management system, a couple of questions. First, confidential information, is the confidentiality going to be protected in this system?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm told.
I would assume.
You want to use my...
Sorry. The system that we have now, the Spillman system, has confidentiality built into it so that only people who are authorized to see certain information can see that information. We would insist on the same protections for the information that we have in our office because some of the information that we have, we are bound to keep confidential. Some of it's sealed. So, yes, the short answer is
yes.
That will be an inherent part of the purchase,
okay.
Yeah.
The data and records management, once a file is closed, are you able or permitted to archive the information?
We are not only able and permitted to, it's already happening.
That's what I was going to ask. Are you part of grant, one of the archives grants with Greg?
I don't know about a grant, but our files are being scanned. They're going to be stored digitally. The plan and process by which this is being done has met with all the legal and regulatory requirements so that we will actually not have to keep paper archives after the appeals plan is run. Yeah.
The reason I ask is the state archives and records management system, you may be eligible. We will work with Greg to put together an Aurora, to put together a master grant in certain categories. And even though the fund is shrinking at the state level, there's still money available. And you might be able to piggyback if you're not. You may be already.
I think we are already because I have been conferring with Maureen in the county clerk's office.
That's the right person.
And with Greg.
Okay.
And dealing with the storage up at the Seneca.
The Seneca Army Depot.
Yes. So
thanks.
I think we're on board with that now.
Okay. Thank
thanks.
You.
Dooley.
I'm glad Martha asked about the professional services line. I think it should be in the line called other, which goes up and down, and that's where you can put something in the future. You have to write this. But my question has to do with the contracts. Section B, Appendix B, page 4. There's a list of entities you've contracted with in the past, including stenographers, but for 2013, it's all blank. And I at first thought maybe all of that was going into the professional services line, but no, that's not what that meant. So why is it all blank?
I don't know. Hold on. Let me turn to the page. Section
Appendix of B.
Oh, all the way in the back of?
That's my fault.
Well, I know, but that doesn't
here, go ahead.
Make it
here.
Your fault. I'm just trying to find where the appendices are.
There should be a tab.
Okay, Dooley, I think this is just a Scrivener's mistake. I think we need to populate these fields. Numbers do exist for these.
Kevin has taken an arrow for this one.
All right.
No, I don't think Kevin should. I'll...
Anything else?
I apologize for that.
I was trying to understand the professional services.
Yeah, that's just an add-on so that we don't continue to be $7,500 in the hole year after year predictably.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. Martha.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Seeing page 116, your full-time equivalent list.
Yep.
See, the criminal investigator is going from one full-time to 0.7.
Yes. I think I glossed over that earlier, but I'll explain it in more detail.
Ah, I see it.
Do you see it?
Yeah. Yep.
Because he's putting in so much time collecting the fine money.
Okay,
thank
you.
He is still full-time, and he's just a marvel. We're all benefiting from his work.
Anyone else?
Thank you.
Thank you, Juan.
Thank you.
While you're leaving, let me just remind Leslie.
It's not for Gwen.
Okay.
I'll wait. It's a general question about this budget pages.
Go ahead.
Shall I go? So I it's a quick question. Maybe it's my memory. Like the Tompkins County Public Library, which gets a big chunk of its, if not most of it, from us. Is there a reason why we don't have, like, the other revenue sources, like the state and those included in there?
I think it's very, very similar to TC3, where we basically provide a sponsor share to that organization. So you don't, you see a single line item on TC3 as well.
They're a component unit of the county. So all that's in the budget is the contribution to the organization.
No.
Because their money, the other money doesn't flow to the county.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's the program summary, however, if you look at page 86, section 586, that's our attempt to get them to help us understand the greater picture.
Right. I saw that. It's just easier to try to follow those numbers when they're all together there instead of trying to have Susan make it up or others.
Yeah, our system doesn't have that information in it.
Thank you.
Let me just say, I think we're done here, but let me just say, we have been here for 20 hours, nearly 20 hours, over six meetings, listening, questioning, making statements, and we are now down to the next voting meeting, the first voting meeting on the 23rd at 5:30. Any amendments, please get them to Kevin, talk to department heads. We do have some that are already in, and please try to get those in by then. And we also have $11 left in the food bill. What I'm going to do is give everybody back a dollar. First 11 people that come through the door get a dollar. So what I'm suggesting is bring your own lunch for the voting meeting. Anyone have any questions?
As opposed to contributing to the food... That's just bring our own food?
What's that?
As opposed to contributing, just bring our own food?
No, we're done contributing.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The sheet that you handed out today that was on the pile,
right.
So is this then, there were a couple of little mistakes in the last one. Is this the comprehensive, up-to-date list of OTRs and what was funded and partially funded and all that?
So the you're talking about this version of the sheet first?
No, the long one.
No. Well, this one is up to date with the number of OTRs. So if you were to add up all the pinks on this new one, this is just giving you the actual dollar amounts. So you have dollar amounts aside from just the times at which different departments are presenting.
That was on our pile today?
You should have a legal size piece of paper. You just picked it up.
Okay.
So this is different than that other piece of paper. This is just a Peter Stein asked for this,
okay.
So I handed this out. This gives you an overview of all of the OTRs and all of the dollar amounts from requested to recommended.
Okay.
And shows kind of, are we paying for it with reserves or fund balance, or are we paying for it with rollover, or are we paying for it with target increase, which is also public current.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Do you have your hand up?
Yeah.
But Pat did first. Are you okay with that?
Sure.
Go ahead, Pat.
Would it be possible for us to for someone to send us the amendments that have been requested ahead so that we could know what has already been.
Absolutely. I'll be sending those out probably tomorrow or Wednesday.
Okay, and as more come in.
As more come in, I'll keep you guys up to date as to what's going
on. Okay, thank you.
I have Brian and then Frank.
I already mentioned this to Kevin, but and I know it's too late now, but if your system would allow, if we could get the OTRs numbered,
yes,
you know, that'd be just be easier to write them down.
Frank?
Jim, is in submitting requests for budget amendments, is there any... you going to have a form? Is there a format? Or just talk to Kevin.
Email Kevin.
That's it.
Or call him.
Okay.
Last thing, the function of the voting meeting, or the final result we would like to have is a resolution putting forth from the EBC the tentative budget as a recommendation to the full legislature for whenever we vote in sometime in November. So that would be the final thing that would come out of voting meetings. Go ahead.
Question for the meeting on the 24th. What is the deadline for getting in?
There is no meeting on the 24th.
The 23rd, is it?
23rd.
Right. Okay. What is the deadline for getting?
Well, we'd like to have them as soon as possible, but if you can get it in the day so that Kevin has enough time to distribute it all to everyone. And the departments, that would be helpful.
Yeah, not same day. Because some of us can't get back to our PCs.
Yeah, I mean, if you could get it, leave it 24 hours before the meeting would be the last time would be good.
Thank you.
I mean, obviously we can make adjustments, but that would make sense. Thank you all for coming. I will see you on the 23rd, tomorrow. The 23rd.
Oh, this is tomorrow.